Hi, I'm Manos. This is Maria, founders and directors of the EV Real Estate Group, and welcome to On the Couch with
Manos and Maria.
That's it.
So this is where we go behind the scenes to uncover what makes entrepreneurs and industry providers, business owners, tick, and also what they think of the future in real estate.
We're really looking forward to sharing all the inside stories of what it actually takes to run a really successful business, whether you're starting out, whether you're thinking about starting your own business, whether you're currently running a real estate agency, and how you can obviously make it better. So, hope you enjoy. Well, welcome guys. Welcome to the fourth episode of On the Couch with M&M. But as you can see, I'm flying solo today. Maria is not with me, unfortunately, but fortunately for her, she is overseas on the beautiful island of Crete, which is actually purchased a property. So we're looking at a holiday home there. And I'm really looking forward to when she returns to actually talk to you about that whole process and how much we really should appreciate the sophistication of our real estate process here in Australia and how fortunate we are. It's so simple and we can actually transact property unlike what we've encountered in Greece. But that's another episode. But today I've got with me really excited to introduce you to Warren Tate, author, coach and auctioneer. Welcome to the show, Warren.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and really looking forward to obviously discussing your journey into real estate and what obviously you've seen. You've been in real estate now for 20 odd years. Well, yeah, actually, give me the Warren Tate story.
In excess of 20 years, actually. I joined in the early 90s, and it was back when I didn't know anything about real estate. Didn't know that the market was its worst that it's pretty much ever been.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I was a little bit ignorant about that. I was fortunate enough to get a role with Jeff Kayser down at Kayser Real Estate in Albert Park. So a beautiful area to work in.
And certainly is.
And he gave me a start, which was very fortunate, and I learnt a hell of a lot, and it was great.
You must have been 16 at the time when you
started.
Thank
you very much, yes. Yeah, I wish I was. But learnt a lot. I actually did my very first auction with Jeff, and standing along a 6'4" guy who's got the old grey hair, and there was this young guy who looks about 12 doing an auction. That was quite challenging, but it was a great experience.
And from there, you went into?
From there, I went into, I went to Kay & Burton for a little while. Not too many people know about that, but that was an interesting experience there, and crossing over the St Kilda Road barrier and into the upmarket area of Toorak and South Yarra. From that, I was married during that time, wanting to start a family, had some marketing qualifications behind me, and I went out into the corporate world. I actually left real estate for a period of time, but went full circle and came back in through Wilson Pride. I was a franchise manager there. Mm-hmm. Of course, Charles Tarby bought Wilson Pride out with Century 21, went through the brand change. I'm sorry, this is starting to sound a little bit long-winded. Then.
No, that's what we want to hear the story.
And then from there, did a little bit of consulting work and so forth out in the industry. Got a lot of property management experience with Run Property, and then Little took them out, and so I managed the Hawthorne office with 3,000 properties under management. So that was interesting.
I'm actually going to take you up on another interview on building a property management division, but we'll do that for a later episode.
I learned a hell of a lot from some very experienced people within that industry, within that marketplace.
And sorry to interrupt right at this point, but property management is such an integral part of running a successful real estate office. I think it does go hand in hand.
One of the most undervalued part of the industry, I think.
Definitely.
And I have a whole other idea and concept around where we miss a huge market in that area, but interview for another time.
Yes.
And then the Hodges experience, which was fantastic. I was given a great opportunity there to help build that business, and we franchised that business, doubled in size, worked with some great people there, and rebranded and did all sorts of things there, and some new innovations and so forth with the marketing. But I found my true driving purpose was to help offices and to help people, and I thought I was, you know, a little bit restricted in that office network to be able to do that. And so went out on my own and bit the bullet and said, if you want to change the world, change it one agent at a time. And that's what I'm doing.
Sensational. So you're currently are a coach to real estate offices, but you're a different sort of coach. You're not into scripts and dialogues and how to convert a vendor to obviously come on board. And you actually look at the whole mechanics of a business from start to finish. Can you talk to me through that?
Well, with my experience in Hodges and bringing new businesses on and so forth, branding of businesses and so on, it's about understanding the mechanics of what the consumer's looking for. I think we've been very much one-sided in our industry for far too long. It's always been about us rather than what the client wants, understanding pain points and marketing accordingly. So it's about restructuring the branding and the marketing and what that message is, the clarity around that message, and then transferring that on to the presentation and how you deliver it in the lounge room.
And how I'm assuming it's how you extract your point of difference in your marketplace. Would that be?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the key element. Once you've built that trust and rapport and so forth and a true understanding, it's then being able to show that vulnerability of what it is that you can truly offer and how you truly love what you do. Mm. And we do change people's lives to a degree. We have some major impacts on their outcomes. You know, you get $150,000 extra in a vendor's pocket. That's a big chunk of money.
Absolutely.
And you see the emotion on people's faces. And I think that we skip over that a little bit. I'm finding that the agents that I'm working for and where we're discovering how to deliver that in your message when you're presenting and how much that means to the agent, it strikes a chord with the vendors, because it's like, yeah, I'm not just with any other agent here. Mm-hmm. We're somebody who really cares.
So this show is about building a business. So what are the key elements do you find? And we're really looking, and I'm sure you work with franchise groups and offices that are in franchises.
Indeed.
And yes. I'm sure a great portion of your clients as well run independent.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of message can we send out to the viewers and say, how do they distinguish, how do they get their point of difference? If you're in a franchise, what sort of benefit can you sell being a part of a franchise? And I guess if you're a independent, what sort of positioning can you put yourself in the marketplace to be, you know, ahead of the curve? And what's your strength being boutique as opposed to being part of a larger network? Do you talk through that with the owners?
Look, branding, message and clarity is vital.
Mm-hmm.
The consumer doesn't care if you've been around for 160 years. They don't. What does that mean to me in getting a better price for my home? Absolutely zero. They care about what value you can add, and they have a pain point. So what is that pain point that you're going to resolve? But you don't just pitch to them based on this is what we do. You need to uncover what their pain points are. So mm-hmm. Understanding your marketplace, understanding who your core market is. Too many people try to market themselves to everybody, and I don't believe that's possible. So creating your ideal avatar or your ideal client, it might be couples with two young children and so forth. So, and where do they work? What field or what profession do they work in? What are they looking for in regards to adding value to the process? I mean, they're time poor generally. They want you to be professional. They want you to really care about what it is they're trying to achieve, and then that you can get the result.
Mm.
So it's a bit of, I always talk about winning the heart and then the head.
Yes.
But being able to do both.
Yeah, it's heart, head. So we think with our head, we feel with our heart, and then we use our hands, the three H's I call it, to actually go out there and to actually deliver on what we promise.
Mm. But it's getting clarity around that. How do you deliver that to the marketplace? Mm. And it's not... Market share, I think, is irrelevant. I was almost going to be a little bit corny and say market care, but it does come down to
it
that.
It does, it does.
If you have the opportunity to get in the lounge room with somebody and have a conversation, you need to really show that you care about the individual and the process, and it's a big decision. You know, does your best mate have a key to your home? I should be careful about that. They might.
They do.
Okay, bad example. But we're going into households.
Yes.
Asking people to hand over the key to their home, their memories.
You're right. And we meet them for the very first time. They hand over the key to a total stranger. So it's a big responsibility.
It's huge. This is where I'm trying to create a point of difference out there in the market. Your point of difference is understanding that. A lot of agents don't. They're in there to sell themselves. No, you need to understand their pain points and get to know their why and what drives them before you can then understand how you can assist them and add value to that process.
And so when developing a brand, what should be the key element someone should think about? Should they think of their own DNA? I guess they should. Should they also think of their marketplace in the sense of, you know, are they going to be targeting million-dollar properties, or are they going to be targeting the median house price in their market share? So do you go through anything like that with a business owner?
Absolutely. That avatar, that client, is certainly what we go through, but also understanding their view of the world, how they think and how they make decisions. I think that's important. But then also, you're not the hero.
And we are going to be talking about Warren's book, I Get You, how communication can change your destination. And communication, I thoroughly enjoyed this. Yeah, I only got it last week and I read it over the weekend. And as you can see, I've made lots of notes.
Thank you.
To talk about it. So absolute great read. We'll talk about it at the end of the show where they can get their copy. But this the clarity that you have in this book in regards to communicating your message and how to communicate it is sensational. So I guess we can actually just start with this. Because I was reading, and I've got a couple of questions here. Mm-hmm. You're a certified speaking coach,
yes.
So talk to me. How do you get certified to be a speaking coach?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm classified under the Gallup Strength Test learning, and I've done all sorts of tests and so forth. I'm a learner by nature. So I like to understand the science behind everything.
Mm.
So psychology, biobehavior, all the biology of how we communicate, which is certainly researched and well-researched in the book as well. So I like to understand that, and I like everything to be proven by science. It's not a Warren Tateism. This has been researched.
Yes. And so, you make reference of that in the book on many occasions. So.
Mm. Absolutely. So Craig Valentine, who was the world champion of public speaking under the in America, he ran this course, and I did it online. We had webinars it went over 3 months. I buddied up with a fella from Norway. So we went through a pretty intensive process to understand how presentations should be structured, how to open a conversation, how to open a presentation, the structures inside that, and the storytelling, which is the glue that holds everything together, how to structure a story. And that fascinated me. And then I went on and studied story more and more from there, because every movie and the structure around movies and stories and everything else. So I'm an avid learner, studier, and long story, Craig Valentine, certified speaking coach. And so anybody from the boardroom who needs to do a presentation to agents in the living room, there's a structure around how we should better present.
Well, it came loud and clear when reading the book that we are here today purely because of the words we've used and our communication skills to deliver our message and to influence those people that we deliver the message. But it's how we deliver it that was really, really inspiring reading your book and just some clarity around it. One of your definitions of communication is it's like a game of tennis. And I love that. It's a game of tennis, but without the aces. Do you want to talk about that?
It was quite interesting how that came about. I was requested to write a blog post for an online magazine, so we called it a blog post. And he said he wanted it in a different type of manner and didn't want the same old boring type of scenario. So I'm a tennis player, not a very good one, but I am a tennis player. And I saw a lot of similarities. And Dr. Dalton Keogh, who's a professor out of Canada, Toronto University, who gets mentioned in the book, he talks about rallying rather than communication should be a rally.
Mm.
So I just extrapolated that out into serving an ace, the type of balls that we use being the words. And we don't want, most people serve an ace, unfortunately, in communication. So we send the message out and we believe it's been understood and we walk away. Yeah. Job's done. But you don't want to serve an ace. You want to get some form of response to make sure there has been an understanding, not just a, okay, got that.
Yeah, we need that engagement. Mm. And it was such a great euphemism, as you said it in the book, that, an analogy, how you can use the playing a tennis in your communication style. Another thing that I picked out, I mean, there's so many things. We won't have time to go through every single book, and everyone's got to read it, of course. But the time
traveler. Buy it, it's easier.
It's easier, yeah. Time traveler, you're a storyteller. That time traveler, and this is so important for us in real estate, the time traveler. Talk to us about the time traveler.
Well, again, if you put yourself in a position of traveling back in time and who we are now, and we're communicating with somebody. And I use the example in the book of going through a McDonald's drive-thru.
Sensational example. And I had a smile on my face from start to finish when I was reading that chapter, and I've gone, what a fascinating exercise to do.
Go back 200 years and try and explain to somebody that we've got these things that we drive around in that has an engine and we steer it, and we can go through and order this burger that's this big. It's some meat between a bun, and we just pay at a window and we drive off. And
in our horseless carriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And try and explain that to somebody who's got no idea about what you're talking about. Mm. And then you realize how complicated communication really is, and how we need to draw visuals with our words and with our expressions and with our body language and everything else.
And don't assume someone knows something. And I'm as guilty as anyone, even when I was out there listing and selling, is making the assumption that the seller, the potential seller that I was trying to influence, knew what a Section 32 was or a vendor statement, let alone what a vendor was. And it goes the same with running a real estate office, making the assumption that a director understands that we need to do rollover at the end of the month. And they look you in the blank face and go, what's rollover? And I was guilty of that when we first opened up our office. So the time traveler,
Just on that, I speak to some agents, some young agents, and I talk about the sketches that we used to get for The Age and for the board.
Yeah.
Before we used full-on photography. You'd get a sketch artist to do a sketch of the... Yes. And they look at you as if to say, what are you talking about? What drugs are you on?
Yeah. What planet are you from?
Correct. But that's what we used to do.
Mm. No, it is amazing. It truly is amazing.
Mm.
And, there's I'll just touch on two more points. Why should you know your why when you want to deliver a message?
Oh, well, that just breeds authenticity and trust. You can. Brené Brown's got a great quote. I won't put it verbatim, but it's basically we try to be somebody who we think we should be or who we're supposed to be rather than being ourselves, and that shows that you're inauthentic immediately. And unless you're authentic, trust is not built. And I used to think that was just through words. And thought, okay, so people can read between the lines here about what I'm saying, for instance, if you're being inauthentic. But it's actually not. The signals are being well sent well before you even open your mouth. So if you truly believe in what you're saying, and if you truly understand it, and from deep down you're there to assist, and I talk about assisting rather than listing.
Mm.
How can I assist you? What else can I do for you?
Assisting rather than listing.
Yeah, and you're just there with a genuine outcome of how I want to help you. That's all I want to do. And the reason why I want to do that is because the outcomes that I've received from my clients and watching how important it is for them and having them cry in my arms and so forth and things like that. If you can genuinely say that with a true passion, then that's why you do what you do. And be able to say it with vulnerability.
Mm.
Guys have trouble with this. Girls find it a little bit easier. I'm not trying to be sexist here. Some guys just let ego get in the way. Yeah, I call it their vain brain.
True.
If they can do that, you watch the transformation and the people just, and they just thought, yep, as Simon Sinek says, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And you'll just see them. They'll just come to your side and you just know that you've won their heart. Now show them you can get the job done.
And that communication's not only to our clients, our landlords and our sellers, but also to our team members. So if you're out there building an office, people will join your office if they understand your why and you're able to deliver that with passion, authenticity, with absolute guts and grit, and with a purpose. So once you do that, that's how you build great teams, and those teams deliver on your message, and they deliver that to obviously the end user, our end client. And it's one of the last topics I'll talk about in the book is your non-verbal communication, what you just mentioned. And I had known these stats, and as everyone knows, I am a real stats person. But I didn't know it was quite this. 55%, your communication is delivered 55% by just looking at you.
Yep, by just your body, posture posture, how you move. Yeah. Yep.
So I guess your energy, and we always talk about energy. It's all about energy, your DNA. And 38% by the tone of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's a classic case when we're over the phone and speaking to people, what sort of tone do you have? over over the phone, and it's only 7% the actual words that we use. So we can stuff up this whole interview, but hopefully our visuals and our excitement shows through that we're really passionate about obviously sharing what we know. So that's what's really, really important. Anything else from the book you'd like to sort of like talk about from?
No. Well, look, I'd just love to touch on that if I could, Manos, because it's people underestimate this. This is what I call when I present and in my keynote speech as well. This is the magic sauce, which is overlooked. And it really is. Over the phone, and only this morning did I pick somebody up on this. So if you match the pace and tone, you'll build a quicker connection with the person that you're speaking with over the phone. And it really does build a relationship really quickly. And you can do it over the phone. A lot of people say, what, from just matching and mirroring how they speak? I said, absolutely. And I draw upon an example with this, and everybody in the room always says, yep, you've got me. And it is, have you ever spoken to somebody who's of non-English speaking or English is their second language? You've spoken to them on the phone and you've suddenly started to speak like them automatically. And everybody, 100%, we have all done it because it's stuck in our DNA. It's through our primitive brain. We can't help it. And within 7 seconds exactly, you'll suddenly start to realize, what the hell am I doing? Why am I speaking like this? We naturally gravitate. It's called the echo effect. We naturally gravitate to people who sound like us. So we do it with people who don't speak English or they speak English as their second language. Why don't we do it in everyday communication? Yeah. And it's those simple little things that people are starting to realize, or people that I speak to and coach and work with, they go, okay, now I need to do that all the time. And there's that and the subtle mimicry with body language as well, because it is. We take in 40 pieces of information every second.
That's so a lot of processing happening in between our ears.
Correct. So we're saying a lot without saying a word.
Excellent. And your thoughts on email?
Email, where do I start and finish?
Okay. I love it. It's a fascinating chapter on email.
I love it how people read tone into email. I still get puzzled by that. Just pick up the bloody phone.
Yeah.
sorry about that, but that's what I said.
Look, I have a saying really quickly. He who makes the most calls wins, and even from an internal perspective as well. And once you build your organization to a size, there are multiple moving parts to it and lots of people, you know, whether it's 15, 20, 25, a lot more email gets used. And when a lot more email gets used, let's be truthful, there's a lot more miscommunication. And people do interpret tone and the wrong message, and someone sent out an email, and then before you know it, you've had two or three or four emails back and forth, pick up the phone. And that's our golden rule here at EVU is, regardless of office, regardless of position, whether you're in sales support, whether you're in marketing, whether you're in property management, where possible, pick up the phone. Yes, we've got to have an audit trail sometimes in our communication, but follow up the email after the phone call. That's what we'd say. You say, pick up the phone. Warren, just want to talk to you about this process. Is this the type of marketing that you need to be doing on the property? Can we launch it to market? And then if you need confirmation to follow process, just confirm it via an email. And it's been the best exercise that we've done as an organization. Yeah, so avoid email where possible.
Well, on average, the average is now 120 emails in business a day. So not only is it inefficient, it can be misinterpreted as well. So the key is, yes, exactly, pick up the phone wherever possible to eliminate those 10, 15 back and forth emails. But I also challenge people out there to block out times to do email. So the expected turnaround time for an email is between 4 hours in some organisations and close of business. So there's not that, oh my God, if I don't respond to that email straight away, I'm in trouble. It's no business expects that. So I challenge people to say, okay, block out 3 or 4 times a day to respond to emails, and that's it. So you don't have that little squirrel coming up on your screen all the time, which distracts you from when you're on the phone or doing a task. And you focus and you give half an hour or an hour dedicated 3 or 4 times a day to your emails, and you become so much more efficient.
Great advice there.
And in about 3 or 4 years, we won't be using email. I mean, most of the tech companies and so forth now are using items such as Slack or Trello. It's project management type communication softwares, and email will hopefully be non-existent. Yeah,
and I admittedly, we're not on Slack at this point in time, but we certainly use Trello. So all our departments have their Trello boards made up, and everyone communicates through there and capturing of information. It's visual. And we're actually rolling it out into our offices as well to have visual screens of Trello boards. So
it's been
a great tool for us that we stumbled across some time ago.
Fantastic.
But so Warren, where can they get the book?
You can go to warrentate.com.au, that's T-A-T-E, and you can order it online, and it will be available on Amazon in about 3 weeks' time. I've been too busy doing the book tour around the country to be able to load it onto Amazon just yet. But anybody that buys a hard copy of it, they'll get a free version of the electronic copy.
Fantastic.
On Amazon.
Fantastic. And we always finish up today. Maria normally asks these questions, but we're going to finish off with our fast five. Whatever comes to mind, and it's straight away.
I'm ready.
So, yeah. There's no right or wrong answers. But number one, as a kid, Warren, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Golf pro.
Golf pro, sensational. Name an achievement you are most proud of.
My children.
Sensational. How many you got?
Two boys, all 19 right. and 16.
Sensational.
And they get bigger and bigger by the day.
That's great. That's the way it should be. What is the next item on your bucket list?
To master a few digital elements which I'm trying to implement within my business.
Great.
Yeah, I can't go into too much more detail, but it's when you're a sole entrepreneur as such, it takes up a lot of time and effort.
It does.
So I'm collaborating with somebody else in regards to that.
Right. And who do you admire most within the industry and why?
That's a very interesting question. I'll actually put it down to an individual. I hope he sees this. I've worked very closely with a fellow called Josh Sterling. And I remember he and his business partner, Steve, and when they first wanted to open up their own business, and you know how people are never ready to do it?
Mm.
They were a classic never ready to do it. And convinced them that they were good enough to do it. They did it out the back of it in a shared office and so forth. And now they own a fabulous McGrath office in St Kilda, huge office and kicking great goals. So, yeah, I admire what it took for them to build up to where they are today.
It does take a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You've really got to take your hat off to people who obviously just push through all the challenges of creating a business. And I guess this is what this show is all about. And if your life was a book, what would the title be?
Possibly I Get You. I had to do that one.
You had to do that one.
But it is true. From a very young age, I've been involved in sporting clubs and associations, and state swimming level, national swimming level, all sorts of things like that. And I've always been able to communicate with adults, which has been interesting.
Right.
I've always been able to communicate. I worked from 11 years of age at Victoria Golf Club, where I dealt with some very influential people, and I was able to have some very good conversations with them. So I think communication has been a part of my life from a very young age. I Get You is the best book I think.
Sensational. Well, it's evident with your success, and we're really looking forward to seeing the journey ahead.
Fantastic.
And I look
Thank
forward
you.
To, I will take you up on that 3,000 property management interview at another stage.
Look forward to it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you guys for joining us on another episode of On the Couch with Eminem, minus Maria at the moment, but she'll be back shortly, and look forward to seeing you at the next episode. Thank you.